All right, brethren, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 3.
Romans chapter 3. Sinners are saved by the righteousness of God. We're saved by the righteousness of God. That's righteousness which is of God. That's of God's providing. It's of God's doing. It's of God's applying. Sinners are saved by the righteousness of God. Romans 3:20 says, therefore. Now let's review a minute. Since all are fallen in Adam, since all are dead in trespasses and in sins, since none can obey God's law, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now the law can only identify sin. It can only condemn. It can only kill. That's all the law can do. That's what it says it was provided for, to give you a knowledge of sin. The law is righteousness, but it cannot produce righteousness. The law requires righteousness, but it can never reveal righteousness. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth. The margin says, foreordained. Whom God has foreordained a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Now, first of all, we see the relationship of the law to the righteousness of God. Here's the relationship of the law to the righteousness of God. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is without a sinner's deeds to the law. That's what it means, the righteousness of God without the law. It's without a sinner's deeds to the law. Even after conversion, even after you've been converted, our works and our acts of obedience are in no way connected to the righteousness of God. Not in any way. Our works, our acts of obedience have nothing to do with the righteousness of God. In fact, in Galatians 3, have you ever noticed this? When Paul is talking about believers who go back to the law for sanctification, that's what he's talking about in Galatians 3. They go back to the law thinking by their deeds they're going to be sanctified. But as soon as he talks about that, he goes to talking about how no sinner is justified by the law. He doesn't say sanctified, he says justified. Why does he do that? Because before God, well, for one thing, the law has, our deeds to the law has nothing to do with our sanctification. But before God, when a sinner turns to the law for sanctification, God says he's trying to justify himself. He's trying to earn righteousness for himself. Now that sinner, in his mind, he may be going to, and this is what really it's about, he's going to the law to justify himself as a holy man before men. That's what he's doing. He's trying to show men he's a holy man. But God says what they're showing him is they're trying to justify themselves and earn a righteousness for themselves by the law. And God won't have it. God will not have it. We cannot be justified or sanctified by our deeds to the law. Romans 9:31 says this, Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. They tried to earn a righteousness by doing the law. And so they didn't attain to righteousness. Nor can the law reveal to us what righteousness is. That righteousness which saves us from sin. The law can't reveal it to us. The gospel alone reveals the righteousness of God to us. Remember Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It's the righteousness of God revealed through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. But the righteousness of God is witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets do bear witness to the righteousness of God. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, bear witness to the perfection of this righteousness of God. If the law could speak, the law would say, that one is the righteousness of all my precepts. He is and has fulfilled the righteousness of all my precepts. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. The ceremonial law bears witness of the righteousness of God. All through the ceremonial law, especially the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, that was all about the righteousness of God. They had to come with a spotless lamb. And the sins of the people had to be laid on that lamb. And that lamb then had to be killed. And then the high priest took the blood of the lamb into the holiest of holies and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. He went in there alone. No man could go with him. And all of that was declaring the righteousness of God. Every bit of it. And then the prophets, they bore witness of the righteousness of God. Daniel said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. When you read Isaiah, you come to Isaiah 53. That whole chapter is all about the righteousness of God. Well, if this righteousness of God is without our deeds to the law, then what is this righteousness of God? It's not a what, it's a who. Look here at the second thing. The righteousness of God is by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And the righteousness of God is God's own Son, Christ Jesus. Look at Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The righteousness of God is not manifested by our faith in Christ. Manifested means made to appear, made to be seen, fulfilled, accomplished. That's not done by our faith in Christ. But it's by the faith of Christ Himself. Now I say this each time I read this text, and I'm going to say it again in case somebody's listening to this message for the first time. If you have a Bible that says in Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ, throw it away and get you a Bible that says the righteousness of God, which is of Christ. That is all the difference in the world, brethren. We're not saved by faith in Christ. We're saved by the faith of Christ. Whenever Scripture says of God or of Christ, it's speaking of that which is performed and provided by God, by Christ. Listen to this. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. John heard the works of Christ, the works Christ himself was doing. Listen to Acts 2:31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. That's speaking of Christ raised from the dead. When the Bible speaks of faith in Christ, it's speaking of the believer believing in Christ. By faith in Christ, we receive the righteousness which is by the faith of Christ. Look at Galatians 2:16. This is the best verse on this right here. Galatians 2:16. And this is an important point now. Look at this. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So our text is declaring that the righteousness of God is by the doing and dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by His faithful doing and His faithful dying. Our Lord Jesus Christ was made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That's why He came forth. And He accomplished it. He accomplished purging His people from our sins. He accomplished making His people the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He hath made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, all His people were in Him. All His people were in Him. As our legal head and as our seminal head. So that what He did, all His people really did. So when He was crucified with the sins of His people upon Him, Romans 6 says, all His people were crucified. And when He came out of the grave and arose from the dead, Scripture says, all His people came out of the grave in Him and sat down at God's right hand. And then He's the seminal head. He comes with the gospel, and it's through this incorruptible seed that we're born a second time. The first time we were born of corrupt seed, and we had a corrupt nature. We're just like our daddy Adam. But the second time, we're born of the incorruptible seed. So that new man is holy and without sin. God doesn't create anything with sin. That is sin. What He creates is altogether holy and righteous. And He creates a new man within His people. That's why Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. God doesn't use anything of our flesh. If we're going to know Him and follow Him and rest in Him, we have to be given a new inward holy man. Therein we worship God. Our flesh wants to turn us away from Christ. Our flesh wants to go back to the law. Our flesh is what we war against daily. But it's in the new man that we worship Him and trust Him. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're zealous, The world around us, the religious world around us, is very zealous. But it's not according to knowledge. Why? For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Everyone that truly believes. I know everybody professes to believe. But the man who's going to the law, trying to establish his own righteousness, really doesn't believe in Christ. Because this text says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And everyone he makes to believe, we stop trying to justify ourselves by the law. We cease from it. We rest in Christ. God's Son established righteousness for His people by His obedience. And you know where we're brought to through this gospel? You know where He brings us? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says He comes and He casts down our imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and He brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There again, of Christ means Christ's obedience. He brings His people to bow to the truth that we're saved, we're justified, we're made righteous, not by our obedience, but by the obedience of Christ, by His obedience. And then go to Philippians 3. When He's brought us to that place and made us rest in Christ, then our desire is Paul's desire. Philippians 3:9. I want to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. I want to be found in Him, in His righteousness alone. Now, hear this. This is good news. The righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ, it supplies all the need of all who believe, no matter who you are. Look here in verse 22. Christ's righteousness is unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When it says Christ's righteousness is unto all, it means it's unto all that believe. And here's what it's saying to us. It was appointed for them from eternity. It was provided for them. This righteousness was wrought out for them. It was directed and applied unto them. And Christ's righteousness is upon them. Because He's come and put it upon them. You remember when Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden? The Lord not only slew an animal and made coats of skins to cover their nakedness, what did He do next? He put it on them. He covered them with it. See, we're so ruined in sin that we can't even put on the garment of righteousness. He has to come and put this garment on us. He gives us life. He gives us faith. He brings us to Christ. He puts this garment on us. It's all of Him. But when He does this, brethren, whether you're old or young, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whatever the case may be, the righteousness of Christ justifies all who believe. He justifies all who believe. It's unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. That word, there is no difference, points back to what was just said, and it points to what's said after. Before, he's talking about the righteousness of God. There is no difference in the righteousness of Christ toward His people. He loves all His people equally. He died for them all equally. And He justifies us all equally, whether we be weak in faith or strong in faith. There is no difference. In what He does for His people, there is no difference. And there is no difference in us by nature. That's why there can be no difference in what He does for us. Because there is no difference in us by nature. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the only way any sinner can be justified, the only way any sinner can be righteous before God, is by Christ obeying the law for us and then bringing the gospel to us and making us hear it and putting this robe of righteousness on us. That's the only way we can be saved. Only through faith in Christ can you be made righteous. That's the only way, brethren. That's the only way. I'm saying this to everybody here today who has not believed on Christ. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him. You cast all your care on Him. You're not looking to you in any way. You're looking to Him only. Persuaded that He alone is able to save you to the uttermost. You believe on Him, and you shall be saved. You shall be saved. Now let me show you this next thing. This righteousness of God is free to us because Christ paid the price to redeem us from the law's curse. Look at verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, all for whom Christ died, all for whom Christ died, He shall bring to believe on Him. And we're all justified by Him. Justified. That means to have no record of sin, past, present, or future. Before the all-knowing, all-seeing God is to have no record of sin. That sounds good, don't it? No record of sin. And our justification is free. It cost us nothing. God did it. Listen to this. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. He did it. That's why it's free. He did it. He justified His people. And this is all by His grace. Grace is unmerited. If we could merit grace, it wouldn't be grace. Salvation is by grace. That means it's not by works. Grace and works don't mix. If it's by grace, it's no more of works. And if it's by works, it's no more of grace. Salvation is by grace. That means by grace, He chose whom He would redeem. By grace, He sent His Son who redeemed us. And by grace, He sends His Spirit and regenerates us and brings us to faith in Christ. It's all by unmerited favor. God can choose whom He will. God can put His favor upon whomever He will. That's God's prerogative as God. You do it every day, and so do I. We don't usually stand for the neighbor coming over and telling us how to do things with what belongs to us. And we can't tell God how to do things with what belongs to Him. Can I not do with mine own what I will? Why is thine eye evil? Because I'm good, God said. But never forget this. Justification is free to us because it costs Christ His precious blood to redeem us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And He did it that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, that we might receive all this free justification. Not only did He bear the shame of our sin, our Lord Jesus Christ was made a curse for us. That means He bore the fierce fury of God's wrath. I can't begin to imagine what that would be like. But He says to us in Lamentations 1:12, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Can you hear this? And hear that God's own Son was made a curse for His people, and this not bring you to bow and to look upon Him and rejoice? Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. This is what His people do. Psalm 107:1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And that's what we do. We give thanks to the Lord that He was made a curse for us and redeemed us freely by His precious blood. Now, fourthly, why did God set Christ forth to do this for His people? It was to declare His righteousness. Look here in Romans 3:25. It says, whom God hath set forth a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. From eternity, before this world was ever made, God set Christ forth. The margin says He foreordained Him. And if you take out the italicized words, you see what it means. He foreordained Him a propitiation. He chose Him to be a sacrifice and a mercy seat where He would meet with His people. There's only one place an offended God and a sinner can meet together in harmony, and that's in Christ, our mercy seat. That's what a propitiation is. It's the mercy seat. It's where you come and meet God. That's one place we can meet Him. And the reason God foreordained Christ is to declare His righteousness in remitting sins that are past. You know what sins that are past are? They're sins that are put away forever. They're past. They're gone. They're put away. And God declares His righteousness in putting away our sins. That's the reason that He says there that we might behold His forbearance. Why did God forbear? when Adam sinned in the garden, and not just destroy the world right then. Because we all sinned in Adam. We all became sinners when Adam sinned. By one man, sin entered, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for in Adam all have sinned. Why didn't God just destroy everything right then? Why did He forbear? Because He would declare His righteousness. He would declare His righteousness. That's why. I wish I could get people to understand this world was made by God for one reason, to declare His righteousness. That's right. He upholds it right now where it is for one reason. He's going to declare His righteousness. And He's declaring His righteousness to a people that He chose to declare it to. To a people He exercised His righteousness upon. His righteousness is this. In Christ crucified, God is just. He's just. Scripture says God can by no means clear the guilty. Are you guilty? I'm guilty. By nature, I'm guilty. There's no good in my flesh whatsoever. I come into this world, and as soon as I was born, I began speaking lies. I'm dead in trespasses and in sins. Well, if God's going to be merciful to me, you know what God's got to do before He's merciful to me? He's got to kill me. In order for His law to be upheld, He has to kill me. If He's going to remain just, He has to kill me. I saw on the side of a police car, I'm trying to think where this was. It was somewhere nearby here, I think. But on the side of this police car, their slogan was, "Justice, dealing out justice and mercy," or something like that. And I thought, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're dealing out one or the other, but you're not dealing out justice and mercy. If you deal out justice, you can't deal out mercy. You deal out mercy, you can't deal out justice. Only God could do both. And He only does it in Christ. You see, in Christ, crucified, His law has been honored because every guilty sinner that God saves, He slew in Christ on the cross. "Oh, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die." And we all died in Christ. All His people did. And so now God is just to declare us righteous and to impute righteousness to us because we are righteous in Christ. And the way we became righteous in Christ, it says there, in Christ God is also the justifier of all that believe in Jesus. He's just and He's the justifier. That means He's the one that made His people righteous. He's the one that justified us from all our sins. He did it. We have nothing to do with justifying ourselves. God did it all. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." That's Romans 8:33. It's God's righteousness. Now listen to this carefully. It is God's righteousness, God being just and the justifier, that sets Him apart from every man-made god in all the world. And that's what every other religion is man-made. Let me tell you something. People, you know, you get a certain age and you start wanting to search out religion and see what all these different religions are about. Let me tell you something about every religion in this world you're going to search out. They all have this in common. They give you something to do to be saved. Every single one of them do. There's only one that doesn't. You're hearing it right now. See, that in all the world, there's only two religions and one is false. It's Cain and Abel. Abel came through the blood of a lamb. That's salvation by God's grace through Christ. Cain came with the fruit of the ground, with the works of his own hands. And that's all religion summed up. The religion of grace and the religion of works. And I'm declaring to you today the religion of grace. And this is the religion that sets, this is the righteousness of God, sets the true and living God apart from all other gods. Listen to this. Isaiah 45:21. He says, "There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. None beside me. A just God and the Justifier." He's just and He's the Savior. Now let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Verse 27. Where's boasting then? It's excluded. We can't boast. By what law is it excluded? By the law of works or by? No, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. The words "by" and "through" are not the important words here. He's just simply saying God justifies all His people one way. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, we're justified through faith in Christ. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. To be justified, to be righteous, is to have established the law. How do we establish the law? Some people read that last verse and they say, see there, we go back to the law and we have to keep the law. Is that the context of anything you've heard me preach from this passage? That is not the context. And you go into the next chapter and that's certainly not the context of the next chapter. But what the context is it saying the righteousness of God is without the deeds of the law. The righteousness of God is without our doing. Boasting is excluded. We conclude a man's justified. He establishes the law by faith without the deeds of the law. It's one God that justifies. So that means that, brethren, it's not established by our doing. How's it established then? Read it again, verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law through faith. We establish it through faith. Even as Abraham established the law before the law was even given. Romans 4:2. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God, for what says the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, sinner, hear this. Look down at Romans 4:23. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Sinner, believe on Christ. Somebody might say, well, see there, you're putting something in our hand to do. Faith is not a work. He's saying all through this chapter, faith is the opposite of works. Faith, true faith, is resting from all our works and trusting Christ. You see, as long as you make faith out to be a work, men don't have a problem with faith. But you make faith out to be totally resting from you and any goodness in you and any work done by you, and then men start having a problem with faith. Believe on Christ. And His righteousness will be yours. You will have fully established the law. Not by our doing, but because Christ established it for us. That's what faith lays hold of. And now there's no condemnation. No condemnation. Because we've fulfilled the law. Let's stand together. Father, thank You for this word. Pray You bless it now to our hearing, that You make us to truly rest in Christ our righteousness. And Lord, if it's your will, we pray today you bring a destitute sinner to hear this word and put all his care in Christ. Show mercy, Lord. Exalt your righteousness before us today. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.